Good morning. This is Roland Springs Baptist Church. We are now studying in the book of Hebrews part 1. And today we're on lesson number 9. And in this lesson, we are studying about continuing into God's rest. That's the topic, is enter into His rest. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to You praising You and giving You all honor and all praise for Your precious word. And we ask, Father, that You teach us through Your Holy Spirit, Your precious word, that we may know You more, Father, and that we may be obedient to Your word, to follow You, to bring You honor and to bring You glory. And we know that we can't do it, Father, unless You lead us, unless You teach us. And so we just look to You today, Father, through Your Holy Spirit, to teach us Your precious word, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Okay, today, starting with lesson 9, we are looking at Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. Now, we won't be going much into chapter 4, but we'll continue next week on into chapter 4. But we want to look now at what we have already learned and what we have been taught through the Holy Spirit in the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews. We know that in that first chapter we learned our theme for that chapter was God spoke in His Son. And then also, Jesus is better than angels. And that was what we learned in chapter 1. Now, in chapter 2, we learned the theme was Jesus became flesh and blood. So today we're going into chapter 3. And chapter 3 is enter into His rest. And so we want to look now at who the recipients of the writer of Hebrews, who was he writing to, and what was his purpose in writing. First, we learn that they were Jewish believers who were being persecuted to a degree, and they were being faced with persecution even to a greater degree. And they knew of others who were persecuted to a greater degree. So this persecution seemed to be against their faith in Jesus. And perhaps it might have been from unbelieving Jews. So in looking at Acts, we learn that Stephen was stoned to death by Jews in Jerusalem. And we find that in Acts 7, verses 1 through 53. And then we know that he was stoned because he presented the truth of his faith from the Old Testament. And he confronted these Jews that he was speaking to of their unfaithfulness to believe. So, what then was the purpose of the statement in Hebrews? What is Hebrews really about? And why did the author write to these recipients? If we look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 22, we see that he called the brethren to listen to this word of exhortation. So it was a letter of exhortation and also of warnings. And the believers in that were being persecuted, they needed exhortation. They needed to be encouraged. They needed to be encouraged to focus on Jesus rather on their circumstances. And also they needed to be encouraged to persevere in their faith. And that applies to us today. So this book is not only written to the recipients here, but it also applies to us today. And we find the encouragement is the same for us today and also the warnings that he is giving. Now, in chapters 1 and 2, we learned that those chapters was a comparison of Jesus, the Son of God, with angels, and which at that particular time, the Jews held angels very high in esteem. So in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, through angels as mediators, but spoke in these last days in his Son, who is God himself. So the author of Hebrews called the recipients to listen to the word spoken in the Son, or either neglect their salvation. And there, of course, is judgment for disobedience. Now, we want to look at chapters 3 and 4. Let's look first at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all of his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold firmly to our confidence and the boast of our hope. So we see these verses is a comparison of Jesus to Moses and the recipient to Israel of Moses' time. And we learn in this that Christ is the greater. And all that we're studying now in chapter 3 and 4 is about entering into his rest. And here in these chapters, the author calls the recipient, these Jewish believers, to hold fast until the end. And there are several repeated words and phrases that he uses. So you might want to just jot these down, because as we go through, you're going to see these phrases that he is pointing out to them and repeating to them. Number one is hear his voice. And number two is don't harden your hearts. And number three is faith and unbelief. And number four is disobedience. And number five is confidence and assurance. So first, he says, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. So we learned in these first verses that Jesus was sent by God, and he is also here called the high priest, and he is an apostle of grace. And his calling, we see in these verses, is a heavenly calling. Now, he was sent by God. Now, we're looking at Moses now. He was faithful, and as we see, he is the same. He is faithful, just as Jesus is. But he was called by God, not sent by God. So that's a difference, and you want to keep that in mind as we look at the difference that the Hebrew writer is pointing out. And Moses then was an earthly calling, whereas Jesus' calling was heavenly calling. And Jesus was the high priest, whereas Moses was a prophet of the law. And then you look a little bit further in those verses, and it tells us that Christ was over the house. That was in the third chapter in the sixth verse. But Moses served in the house. So Christ was faithful then as a son over his house, whose house we are. When you look at that, he is referring to all believers, and it's referring to the house pertaining to the church, because that's where believers, that's where their house is. But the house that Moses was faithful over was in the house, in the tabernacle that was set up at that time where they worshiped. And then we go on and we learn in these verses. Let's look at verses 12 through 14. Starting with verse 12. Take care, brothers and sisters, that there will not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another every day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our commitment firm until the end. So he is saying then, therefore, since you know all of this, you see the difference between the comparison of Christ and Moses. He's saying, now that you know this, if you hear his voice, speaking of the voice of Christ, don't harden your hearts. And we know that in the day of Moses, the people did harden their hearts. And then he is saying, because of unbelief or disobedience, they didn't enter his rest and they died. So in studying the book of Moses, we know that God had chose Moses. He had called him to go in and to bring his people, God's people, out of bondage. and that he had promised them a land of plenty. It was called the Promised Land. But when they got to that land, then they sent spies in. Moses sent spies, 12 spies. And when they came back, 10 of the spies said, "We can't conquer this land. There's giants there. We can't do it." And 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Yes, we can. We can do this." And they gave a report of what they had seen in the land. It was a land as God had said. So we know, because of their unbelief, that they had to wander. God caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And they were not allowed to go in the Promised Land. They died out, that generation, because of their unbelief. So he is saying, the author of Hebrews is saying, "Therefore, let us fear that any one of you comes short of entering his rest." Here we see the good news is preached, and he's saying, listen, unite with faith that you may enter into the rest. And therefore, be diligent to enter the rest. No one to fall through by disobedience as they did. And then he uses, therefore, let us hold fast. The high priest who sympathized with our weakness, he was tempted as we were tempted. And then he goes on to say, therefore, draw near and find grace to help in time of need. So these chapters give another warning, as chapters 1 and 2 did. Here we see that God spoke to his son, and he said in this first chapter to listen to him. And then he said, if not, you'll miss your salvation and face penalty. And then he said, if you hear the son's voice, don't harden your heart with unbelief as Israel did. They died in the wilderness because of their disobedience. They face God's wrath, his anger. So here we saw that they were not allowed to enter into that rest. And all through here, as we study, we're going to see that it continues to speak to us about entering into that rest. So now let's compare again Moses and Jesus. They were both faithful to God, who appointed them over his house, and God himself is the one that built it. But Jesus has more glory than Moses, whom most Jews considered the ultimate example. And Moses was a faithful servant in the house, in God's house. But Jesus is the faithful son over the house. And here we see in Acts 7 about Moses, how that he was a faithful servant. And I'm not going to take time to read all of those verses, but you might want to go back and read Acts 7 and see how that Moses was faithful as a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will just briefly give a recap of those verses. First of all, we learn in the verses that Moses was born in Egypt. And he was educated as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, a prince. And he lived in Egypt till he was 40 years old. And then he knew that he was Hebrew and that God would deliver his people from Egypt through him. Remember, God spoke to him at the burning bush. And the people, of course, rejected him as their ruler and judge at that time. And God had asked, Moses had asked God, well, how are they going to believe? Who shall I say has sent me? And God had spoke to Moses and said, I am. Tell them that I am. And then after spending 40 years in Midian, the Lord appeared to him and sent him back to Egypt to deliver his people. And he led them out of Egypt, doing wonders and signs for 40 more years, even to the wilderness. And then we see through this that Moses was obedient to what the Lord had called him to do, to deliver the people. But he was also faithful to lead them in the wilderness for 40 years, even though they were disobedient and unfaithful. Now, the men that Stephen spoke to in this seventh chapter, the men Stephen spoke to could see the results of Moses' faithfulness. But God gave him the pattern for the tabernacle, and then Solomon built the temple. And they trusted in the temple and the sacrifices, not in God. These people, these Jews that Stephen was speaking to in that seventh chapter of Acts. And then we see that they were like the fathers who were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. So these Jews that in Acts 7 that Stephen was speaking to, they hardened their hearts by unbelief and disobedience. So in Hebrews 3 and 4, it uses unbelief and disobedience together to show how that because of disbelief, you cannot enter into the rest that God has in store. So Moses told the people that God would raise up for them a prophet like him, a deliverer. And Stephen told those Jews listening to him that the one God raised up like Moses was Jesus, whom they had murdered. So that is what we find in Acts 7. Now, as Moses led the people in the wilderness, they rebelled against him and against God, and they quarreled. And when there was no water to drink, they came and they began to murmur and grumble. And they grumbled, and Moses said that they were testing the Lord. And he went to the Lord with a problem and obeyed what God told him to do. And the Lord brought the water from the rock for them to drink, even though they tested him. And he is always faithful. So in looking at Numbers, and I'm not going to read these verses, but I'll explain what Numbers chapter 20, verse 1 through 13. These verses are about an incident of the people of Israel, God's people, again contending with Moses about the water in the wilderness. They were really contending with God, but they went to Moses. And so Moses called them rebels. And they knew that God brought water from a rock for them to drink, but they contended with him and didn't believe that he would do it again. But this time, in Numbers 20, we see that Moses had been faithful to the Lord. But here, he lost his temper, and he struck the rock, instead of speaking to it like the Lord told him to do. And because of that, Moses, he was not allowed to bring Israel into the land of promise. And we know that he himself was not allowed to go into the land of promise. Now, comparing these incidents with the circumstances of the people that Hebrews was written for, we see that there were hard times and there were trying circumstances. And Israel didn't believe God, and they disobeyed more than on these circumstances. And if you look at today that we live in, the things that are happening in our times, all of the judgments have been falling upon America today. It's because of our disobedience. This land, this country, God's people have fallen away just like these people did. Back in the day of Moses, we are guilty today of the same thing. So when we fall away, then God has to chastise his people, those that he loves. And until we turn back to him, then we're going to be under his chastisement. Now, the author wrote to the recipients of Hebrews so that they would not be like their fathers who didn't believe. And he's writing this to us. Remember that it is very plain that it is for us today. And if we don't listen to God's word, then we know that we have to be chastised. And so here we see that the writer is exhorting them to hold fast. He's warning them that if they don't hold fast, then there is coming a time that God will have to send his judgment upon them. And it's the same for us today. Now, I do want to read Psalms. We know that Hebrews says that we are God of God's house if we hold fast until the end. And then in verse 14 of Hebrews, chapter 3, it says that we are partakers of him if we hold fast to the end. And so here in Psalms 95, 1 through 11, there's two exhortations to hold fast. This psalm begins with a focus on joy and thanksgiving because the Lord is great and a king above all. But then we see that he goes on in this and says that it's an exhortation. Let me read starting with verse 1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before his presence with a song of thanksgiving. Let's shout joyfully to him in songs with instruments. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountain are always his. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. So, in these verses, he is saying that the Lord is great and King above all. So, when you look at, go back to Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 8, the writer of Hebrews says that he is king. And then the psalm speaks of him as creator and maker and shepherd. And we see that also in Hebrews 1st chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 10. So, what does Psalms 7 through 11? It turns from the praising and the exhortation to warning. I'm going to read 7 now through 11 of Psalm 95. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness. When your fathers put me, God, to the test, they tested me. Though they had seen my work for 40 years, I was disgusted with that generation and said, they are my people who err in my heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore, I swore in my anger, they certainly shall not enter into my rest. So here we see that this part of Psalms, he says, if you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts. And he refers back to that day when Moses struck the rock at Meribah and Massah, when your fathers tested and tried me. And so this warning is quoted 3 times in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Now, going back to Hebrews verse 12, here we see, he says, take care, brothers and sisters, that there will not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Here he describes it as a evil heart, unbelieving heart, that falls away from the living God. That's where we are today. And so, what hearing his voice and the word of God have to do with one's heart? And when you look at that, if you hear the word, his word, then you're not to harden your heart toward what he says. His word pierces to the soul and spirit. It's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Therefore, let us hold fast and let us draw near to find grace to help in the time of need. And next week, we will continue this study in these 2 chapters on entering into his rest, because that's what they are about. And we're going to discuss what it means about entering into his rest. How do we enter into his rest? And the difference, or the foreshadow, it's not a difference, it's a foreshadow of the time of Moses, how that the people were not allowed to enter into God's rest. And we will discuss this in our study next week. So we will close out today in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your precious word, words of exhortation, words of encouragement. In any time that we are facing doubts, when we're facing troubles, when we're facing trials, your word gives us encouragement. You give us promises that you'll be with us and won't leave us, Father, at any time, but you will stand with us. Help us, Father, to stand fast upon your word, your truths, Father. Help us, Father, to listen to the warnings that are in your word of what that we have to face if we are not obedient to your word, Father. We can look back through history. You have had it pinned down for us to see what happened to your people that loved you, Father. How that they fell away in disobedience and and how that you had to send a Father, your you had to send judgment upon them, Father. And we know, Father, that you're the same God today as you were then. And Father, you chastise those that you love. And I know that you love us, Father. And I know, Father, that if we don't turn back to you and become obedient to your word, then you have to chastise us because you love us, Father. Help us, Father, to continue to study your word, and not only study it, but to hear your word, Father. Hear your word, that we may be partakers of your word, Father, that we may draw close to you, because we know that the end draws near. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.